regulations require them to have long-term short-term bike parking,
mm-hmm.
and they decide to open up as an Airbnb, mm-hmm. would that then trigger a new use type and then require bike parking? So
yes.
Every Airbnb in Emeryville requires bike parking.
Airbnbs actually are completely different and need their own type of permit. And they're not considered bed and breakfast or hotel. It's not easy to get that.
So they're on their own little.
They're their own world, yes.
Couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
So the implication for all of these, excuse me, is that it's all part of the area of development. This is not like bike parking that would be like on the sidewalk like this.
The short term could be. Short term, absolutely. Yeah. So
it could be in a public right of way. The
short term could be, not the long. The short term really depends on the site, right? When you think about San Pablo Avenue, right? You have a lot of these smaller, older storefronts, and you have that requirement. The short term goes on the sidewalk, and you get an encroachment permit for that. So we require it as part of the use going in, and then Public Works make sure that it gets installed properly.
That goes into another question I had about guidance on installation and like placement and rack types that are being used. Is that part of something that would be part of the permitting process regardless? Or
yes.
Is it like, if it, or I guess maybe in this case for like long-term parking, or is it just up to the discretion of the?
It is not up to discretion. We have standards for that. For long-term bike parking on private property, we have really specific measurements and details in our bike regulations. We are not proposing to change any of that as part of this. It includes ratios for cargo bikes, which we call large parking spaces, I believe. And then for on public property and for short term, we also have dimensional requirements and placement requirements on the sidewalk. So you can't just go plop down the middle of the sidewalk. It's supposed to be X number of inches from the curb, supposed to be X amount of space from a tree, like all these sorts of things have regulations around them. And we're not proposing to change any of those as guardrails.
One more question. So it sounds like regardless, for these conditional use permit situations, it would go through, I guess, planning commission, and there would be like a discussion.
Correct.
Are there any other cases where, I guess these are set at minimums, right? Where there's a recommendation, there's
mm-hmm.
a minimum.
Yeah, these are minimums, exactly.
Are there other cases where there's not a conditional use permit where like public or city staff or electeds will be able to weigh in and say like, actually, in this case, it probably makes more sense to have more, even though they can't maybe legally require it? Is there like a way to, is there a process, I guess, to?
Sure. So if something does not need to go to planning commission, it still needs to be reviewed by staff. And so staff always takes a look, and we tell them what bike parking is required. And we tell people when we think that the minimums are not appropriate. If it requires a minor conditional use permit, which is reviewed and approved on a staff level, then we can require additional bike parking. There is not typically pushback to that. I would say the only time I've personally received much pushback to that is if there were some spatial constraints, and we kind of, usually people want to talk through it, right? People aren't usually like, I want to provide more than necessary. And they also aren't like, I want to use all of my limited space for parking, right? So I think, in my experience, people have been very open to providing more. Often, people will suggest providing more. And part of the reason for that is simply the rounding of like staple racks or the way bike racks are designed. People round up anyway, or I have this weird amount of square footage, but it will fit. And I'll put like another bike rack in there. The times that we have a hard time fitting bike racks in, or particularly long-term parking, is for smaller commercial areas. So for example, have something like Panda Express go in. There is not a place realistically to put a long-term bike parking in a place that small, the kitchen, right? So we do have a provision in our code that says you can convert in certain circumstances for smaller projects, you know, that would be like an example of a small one, you convert your long term to short term. But it's very specific and needs to be reviewed by staff. Does that help?
Thank you. Yeah. I got a close up point.
I had two questions. What was the, you rounded the 3,300 to 3,500. Is there a reason to go
up instead of down?
Yeah, to like 3,000. Especially with like the trend of like the Greenway getting more use and lift bike stations also seeing more use over like the last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Steph, it was going up 200 instead of going down 300. It was just a closer number. And knowing that it's going to be a very, very big project until there's any significant difference in the number of bike parking spaces. And that we have not heard any issues really with there being a shortage of bike parking. We're not trying to skimp if you think that's inappropriate and want to recommend a different number. Oh no, I'm just letting you know. That's why we're here to talk about it, right? But I think there is a little bit of caution about sometimes for commercial developments, you don't want to require too much either and then have just empty bike racks. It's not, you know, that's not good either, mm-hmm. right? But I don't think that this would be result in a significant change in the overall number for most projects.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. And my other question was on the 20 bed situation for residential. Yeah. If that's like senior living facilities and like mm-hmm. maybe like shelters, that seems like a population that's going to be less likely to drive. And the number of bike parking spaces is like substantially lower than mm-hmm. a typical residential unit where like people are probably going to be more likely to drive. Is there like a way that we could increase the number of
spaces? Yeah, we're here to totally talk about that.
Do you think anyone else have thoughts on that?
I think it's a tricky thing because it's a lot of different.
Yeah, it's like a broad category.
Right. And we were reluctant to put TBD for it though, because a lot of these projects are trying to move through, you know, there's a lot of push to move things through quickly for residential. We don't want to slow it down by having to do an analysis of the transportation, right? Like, but it's not the same concern for, you know, a restaurant, the same way it is for mm-hmm. our housing crisis. So that's why we were reluctant to put a TBD for there. That was totally open to suggestions if you think that's too little, or if you have a specific number, we're open to that, or if you just want us to re-examine, come back with more details, we can do that as well.
Could it just be further differentiated?
Tell me more.
Like senior living versus shelter?
Yeah.
Like senior living facilities could be its own.
It is actually. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
we were just trying to simplify the categories.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if there's one category that like seems like could have more or less broken mm-hmm. out a little bit more.
Yeah. Right now there's not. Let me double check here. Yeah. So right now for senior, it's residential parking is 1 per 20. Oh, how do they do it? 1 per 20 units. And then domestic violence shelters would be 1 per 8. Group residential is also 1 per 8. So we kind of went with a higher number of them. Residential care facilities is 1 per 8. So we're just with the existing number that was higher and applied that. Senior housing, I'd say, is tricky, but does tend to have less utilization.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Supportive and transitional housing are also 1 for 8.
Do you have a question? I've been particularly alarmed at the healthcare because I thought it's square footage. And I thought, wait a minute, how about when the hospital comes in? It seems like it would fit in there. And then I realized, well, there are so many employees and then so many visitors. So it seems to me more aligned with beds or employees. I mean, number of people that will be there. So it seems like it goes back to people or bits, mm-hmm. but square footage I felt was totally inappropriate.
Interesting. So I actually did pull out, because I had the same question as you. I looked at what other places were doing for hospital, and it was done by square footage, I think by all of them, but you can see with really huge variations.
But they did separate the employees, so that gave a good separation.
Oakland used employees to separate out long-term spaces, not short ones. And they also had one space for 70,000 square feet, whichever one is more. And then Sacramento used the same thing, but a different ratio. One space for 13 employees, or one space for 50,000 gross square feet of building. Everything else. But if you look at LA, they have really different one for 5,000 square to 50, right? I mean, those are wildly different numbers. But I would say square footage is the default. It just depends on the ratios that people are using. But yeah, I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I did specifically look at hospitals. And ours is, we're saying 3,500. So that would, for each of both short and long, which averages out to more than everywhere except Berkeley. Actually, it's more than Berkeley, because Berkeley just has the one per two. They don't have two categories. No, it's still slightly less, but. I'm not quite sure. I think when you're trying to go in and do the ratios, the conundrum with using something like beds or rooms is it doesn't change often, but it can change over time. And the square footage is the square footage. And if that's changing, a whole big process is going on.
I was just concerned that there were sufficient number for the probable use or need. And so to run out of bike parking spaces seems then the regulations were not properly thought out. Mm-hmm. So I felt that, granted, you have a flex there, minimum, but minimum usually says, well, I did what I was asked to do. So you want to make sure that bike users have a safe place to park their bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's a hit zone. You know, they're going to lose their bikes. Granted, if in the hospital here, they put them all in their parking structure, that might be an added advantage, but thieves can move quick. So still, you need to have, or trying to stuff too many bikes on one post or whatever, then you get damage to bikes and angry cyclists will rip away, you know, theirs. And so it creates anger. So I feel it's better to have more than too few.
Yeah. We're going to, you know, the whole hospital thing's going to.
In the marina, there are far more. I mean, we provided far more than, I'm not sure what the rule was, but we have bike parking places, I mean, coming out their ears. So whatever the rule was, it was exceeded. But that's good, because now there's nobody going to have their bike not fixated to a permanent spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess kind of building off John's comment, are there any categories? It seems like you did break out certain categories to be not based on square footage, but did you have any other categories that you sort of simplified into square footage that you think maybe needs to be by something else, like beds or employees or something else?
No. Every time I looked at the, and, you know, multiple staff members are looking at this, right? Yeah. Nobody was like, oh, we should really keep this random ratio per student, right? Like, it's, you know, there was nothing compelling to do it any other. And we absolutely talked about it extensively, like, But I don't recall us having anything where we really got hung up on the question. Like, we talked about it for some of the uses, and every single time we're like, well, what makes sense? Like, when you're trying to implement this. And then also just seeing the consistency of other cities really going to square footage and not these different measures for different uses at different times. And, you know, needing to have a transportation study to, or whatever, or a use justifying what peak employees are, you know, which could also change over time, you know, if it's the same use.
Of the cities that we looked at, were they all like post change, or have some of them not changed anything yet?
What do you mean? Like, these are all current bike parking regulations.
Yeah, so like right now we're in the process of changing that.
I did not go through and analyze the ordinances to see what years they had been updated, but let's put it this way, the way in which they are written and presented, they all seem fairly recent, which I would say, you know, past 5 to 7 years. I'd be surprised if any of them haven't been touched in that timeline. I could be wrong. I'm taking a guess there, right? Like, but if money were involved, I feel like I could bet on.
I might bet against you.
No, I mean, LA definitely has not had that for like 20 years, right? Like, but I can absolutely bring that back to you. And if there's another city that you would like us to look at in consideration to see if it's a wild card and which will change our perspective on things, totally open that as well.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, you know, if we know which ones have changed and haven't changed, we might begin to understand why they made the change, mm-hmm. or if there's like some sound reasoning that they considered, might help us inform and make the changes that we want to make.
Mm-hmm. I think our baseline was like, what we have seems to be working, so let's mostly stick with that unless there's a compelling reason not to. So I mean that is one thing to consider, is that different cities do have different circumstances. You know, and looking at Sacramento, really much bigger area. Even looking at Oakland, right?
Yeah.
Oakland's a bunch of cities in one city, right? It's kind of hard to make a bike program that makes sense for the whole city and the code, right? So we don't have that same challenge in the same way. I don't know, definitely want to recognize that.
Forgive me if you've already addressed this, but did you do any occupancy studies of parking to see how much they were being used at different kinds of?
I wish I would. We talk about that. We're very curious what occupancy rates are, particularly in our larger residential buildings, and also like depending on how. I forget who mentioned it earlier, but how they're designed and how close they're, you know, it's things have improved over time, or new ones used more than older ones, things like this. No, we don't have the capacity to do that. We've definitely talked about at some point having an intern go and look at particularly residential uses over time, or doing call inquiries to some of the larger, perhaps like office or R&D complexes to see what their utilization rates are. We have not had the capacity to do that. That would be great.
Question again, mm-hmm. or another question. So for like in this case where the schools, it's TBD, like what are, I guess, I mean, this goes for any of them, but what are the criteria that you would use to recommend or fire? What is that conversation like?
Yeah. Let's see if that point of this, I printed that out here. I did not print it out. But basically, you know, at that point, the applicant is providing information. So I can give you an example of a school that I actually worked on. And we had them provide transportation data from the other school. It was Montessori school. So they operated like maybe 10 campuses, let's say, I don't remember. But we had them provide transportation data from all of those and then kind of label as an urban, suburban, like close to transit corridors or not, and look at that. And then have them say what they thought was appropriate, and then have the transportation consultant that was looking at the site say what they thought was appropriate. And then staff makes a recommendation based on that, and then planning commission reviews that and approves it. And or gives their own recommendation of what they, you know, votes on that. Does that provide it's definitely data driven, like,
sure.
And there's usually consultants involved.
Any other questions? Public comments?
Oh, tangentially related. Sorry, make a turn. You had mentioned you hadn't gotten any feedback on use cases for existing bike parking that hadn't worked well. This was, you're probably referring to like newer developments. This one's like 10 years old or something like that, but it's the Ambassador Affordable Housing over on Peralta Street at Avalon. We did with Bikies Fit kids bike giveaway there years ago, and there just wasn't space to store the bikes afterwards, and so we had a lot of trouble with a mob of kids bikes. So this is more related to the residential side of things, but especially with like family-oriented developments, making sure that you're building a parking space for kids bikes. Adults can use bike share, but the kids can't. So if you are going to have family-oriented developments, you definitely need to design for the kids bike parking.
So I think,
go ahead. Yeah. I was going to the member comments. Member comments?
I have one more question. At the new housing, why am I forgetting? By Hootchin Park, how many bike parking places do they have there?
There was it for the Emory?
Yeah.
Was it this current bike parking ratio? Yeah. So it's one per one bike parking space per unit that's studio or one bedroom, and two spaces for each unit that's two or more bedrooms.
Okay. Apparently those are in the garage.
I don't know where, do they have their own bike rooms or are they in the garage?
Yes. They're in the garage.
They're in the garage.
The other... presentation.
I think what would be helpful for me today is to know if there's something specific that you would like addressed moving forward, or if you feel that you'd be able to recommend approval to City Council of what you've seen tonight.
First question, the things that we think need to be addressed.
You hit on one, and that is to maybe do more specific use definitions rather than general definitions, commercial. I mean, you were talked, and you listed out three in the temporary housing and a variety, but if there are any other areas that are too general, I that wasn't really my focus, but others might have seen, well, yeah, but what about? And so there may be a few places where we can delineate in from a general sense into a specific use so that the number could be adjusted. Because like if you're low income residents are going to be more probable cyclists than high income residents. And so those kinds of delineation and definition, I think, would be helpful for city staff to say, here's your number. Because now people will have a very defined application, and it'll be simple rather than, oh, let me think about TBD. So it should be less TBD and a little more, you know, specific, if possible. And that was the, I mean, I like the TBD, but it just covers up for the fact, well, yeah, but there may be different uses. So it might be better to make it to create. And so now we're getting into, who was it? Had the wasn't San Francisco. Who was it that had the book?
Giant list.
Yeah. I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It may be a good thing because it simplifies it.
Well, let me speak to how this works. For the planning regulations, we have use classifications, and those are how we define uses throughout the city. So when any use comes in, we have to determine which use classification it falls under. That's step one. And then can it go in that zone? And then what regulations are required around that, whether it be parking or bike parking or any number of things, right? So all of those use classifications are already determined, and they already are either classified as permitted, conditionally permitted, or prohibited in each zone. That's its own whole universe of work. And all of those were examined and many of them rewritten when we updated the zoning code after the general plan was adopted. Now, all of the estimated parking demand table is based on those use classifications. So this is what that looks like right now. So we have
hours.
This is ours. Oh, this is Emeryville. Okay, I will keep turning.
Okay.
This is, so we have a lot. So what we're trying to do with the bike parking, say, you know what? Half of these have the same ratio. Why list each and every single thing when half of them have the same, you know, the same parking requirement?
Well, ease of understanding from the developer standpoint. That's what my answer would be.
Right. So this is actually easier.
Yeah.
But so instead of looking at this chart and trying to find your use, we're saying everything is this unless it's listed below. And then you're like, oh, that's what am I listed below? And it's like looking at a much shorter list. This looks longer up here. Why is it not working? There we go. This looks longer because, oh wow, it's being really finicky. Really finicky.
Can I ask a
This looks longer because I put the explanations on the side. So you notice that was all in this from use types and it's really big and wide. So it made it look longer, right? Like it makes the table look really big. But it's just making sure that you aren't listing each and every single use. You're just clustering it to make it easier to look up. It's not getting rid of the use classifications. Okay. All the use classifications are still there.
Okay.
Is that
right? As long as you don't wipe out all those definitions, to me, that's
No, we're not touching that.
That's fine. That's fine.
So, another bad question. Mm-hmm. When will the CBDs be?
So the CBD, right? So I also want to make it clear that we were very judicious in using those. Those are all things that do not come up frequently, or all things that would require a conditional use permit to assess them anyway and look at their transportation holistically anyway. Whenever possible, it's much better to give specific direction up front than to be like, I don't know, right? We don't want to do that unless it makes sense for that particular use. So based on staff's previous experiences, based on looking at the other cities, based on looking at our own use definitions, we really, and the logic behind how it's currently calculated for automotive parking, we really simplified the TBDs. So we moved some of the TBDs to square footage, and then we moved some of the things, not square footage ones, but ones that were like seats or parking bays, like I mentioned. Moving those to TBDs because they're going to be assessed for that use anyway. So it's all done when that particular project comes in. So let's say you have two schools come in, and one's over there and one's over here. They are going to have their own TBDs. It's not like we're determining for schools in general at some point. No, that one's a high school, right? And this one is a K-8. Mm-hmm. Different locations, one of them 50 students, one of them 500 students, different. We're going to look at them as their own unique situation at the time that they apply.
I think that might be more helpful to write that in, like evaluating per use cases, because
It will be explained.
It's interpreted to me as like, we're going to figure this out later.
Oh, no. And I'm so, really glad you got it there. I know.
Was that anyone else interpret it that
way? Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah. Wow. Glad we clarified that. No. We're not just figuring out for that use classification. When one of those uses, when a auto body shop comes in and they are going in on Powell Street at this location and it's going to be 10,000 square feet, we're going to look at that specific site. We're going to look at how they're operating. How many RVs are operating at one time, how many employees they have on its site at one time, and assess what's needed. It's so again, another way of saying TBD is on a case-by-case basis, we are looking at you uniquely. There we go. It's not generalized at all. They're all being assessed individually for their unique circumstances.
Got it.
Yeah. Whew. Glad we got that clarified. Sorry about that. Good question.
All right, so then any other first questions, any other things that need to be addressed?
Would you be able to pull up that Excel again? Sorry. If possible.
I don't know why it started doing the sound thing, so I'm a little scared.
Okay, we might be able to
resurrect it.
Just, I couldn't remember what the proposal was for the residential, because personally, I don't have a problem with any of the proposed short-term that was being proposed, but I don't know if it's just the particular building that I live in, but it's mostly studios and one units. And I feel like when they built those units, they were under the assumption that only one person was going to live in those units, and that never happens. And no one ever shares bikes. And so it's just a bike overflow smorgasbord. And so I wish that the city would have some resources to like reach out to some of the more established residential units throughout the city and just say like, how's it going with your parking situation with bikes? And just kind of get like a feel to see like, okay, is there actually enough if we keep it at this ratio, or should maybe we increase it a little bit for that long-term residential parking?
So the current regulation, and I don't know what the regulation was at the time that your building was built, but the current one is one space per studio and one bedroom, which I am hearing is not adequate.
No.
And then two spaces for units with two or more bedrooms. And then what we're proposing to simplify are for the uses that are basically by bed and not unit is to make it one per 20 beds for short-term parking, so people visiting, and one per 8 for long-term. I don't think in the capacity of this project, addressing that specific issue makes sense for a couple reasons. One is because our bike parking ratios already exceed what's motivated this whole assessment of the TOC, right? It does make a lot of sense to look at that under our actual transportation plan, where we identify that existing bike parking, particularly residential units, is inadequate, and what can we do about that, and looking at that programmatically. But it's going to take, you know, some time and some research and all that, and I really want to recognize, as someone who's always lived a place that has been under bike park, that I feel pretty deeply on this, like on a personal level, right? But as part of this, opening up how many more should we require per one bedroom, I don't feel like we can do that in an informed way as part of this process.
If we just require one bike parking spot per bedroom and get rid of the two categories. So like when you look at a three bedroom unit, that might compensate some if they're underused. And also simplify
make that further. There's not that many that are
more than two bedroom.
Right. It's a small percentage.
I think we have a little bit of a common need here, and that is Jeffrey brought it up and Natalie referred to it, and that is we need a report presented for occupancy, as I think you, because we need to be informed. You say we're not informed. Well, that's why we don't have this usage. And so the problem is if they don't do it at construction time,
So that's it. So you have to live with it. And so all the residents can do is leave and find another place to live. That doesn't make any sense. So we need to maybe fudge and have more units available, more parking spaces available than the current numbers we're using. And so that seems to feed really what is coming up, and that is there aren't enough bike parking places right now. Therefore, that shows a flaw in our standards.
I would just say, I'm not going to argue with you. Yeah. There's a short, I'm not, I just want to make sure that I'm not disagreeing with the right. lack of bike parking that exists in many places. But our current standards have not been around for that many years for residential. So the vast majority of our residential units, it was one per unit or perhaps even less. I'm not sure when that went into effect, right? So, I don't want us to be under the assumption that all of the units that have been built in Emeryville are using these current regulations, because that is not the case.
But still, yours are an assumption based on what other cities are doing, right?
Actually, our...
It's not based on usage data.
Correct. Not based on usage data, but I would say that our residential bike parking is not based on what other cities are doing, because we have more bike parking in our regulations than most other cities. Cities just say one per unit.
Yeah,
or even less than that. If it's a smaller development, like five or fewer units, it might say something less than that. And having the two parking spaces for two or more bedrooms is not a common thing.
Well, I would hope the Planning Commission asks for a usage survey. I'll put it that way. Because I think that's something that needs to be forwarded. At least, I'm not sure if we need to vote on it, but it's a concern. And I'm a non-cyclist, but I'm hearing this from cyclists, and it's not being responded to. And the response would be, I will bring this up to the other committees that I present to. Then I think that question will be presented to them too. But I see that as a flaw.
I agree with you that that would be very helpful information to have. And I also just want to recognize that there is staffing resources that are an issue for that. That is not it is a resource intensive thing to do in terms of time. So it is a challenge. I just want to present that as a challenge. Disagreeing with you, but there's a challenge there how to execute that.
I mean, one thing that could help inform us that might be less of a resource challenge could be understanding when the regulation was changed in Emeryville or changed a couple times, mm-hmm. and understanding the units that have been built since then with those regulations to understand how they are doing currently.
I could come back to you with that.
At least just the when it changed and which units it applies to, because we might live in some of those. We might have anecdotal information that may not require formal survey, X intensity. It may not be the best data. Anecdotal data never is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just maybe something that might help us out.
I think we'd certainly come back and have a conversation about that. Okay. I would suggest decoupling it from this.
Yeah.
But I do think that if BPAC wants to examine existing bike parking as part of your committee's workflow, that is something that we can.
Okay. I suppose one more suggestion.
Tell me more.
I know you said you were going to try and not touch like the requirements of long-term bike storage. But as e-bikes are on the rise, I know a lot of long-term storage is vertical racks, just because that's really convenient for people.
Mm-hmm.
But e-bike use is getting a lot higher, and those bikes are often like 50 plus pounds, and a lot mm-hmm. of people can't get them into a vertical rack. Mm-hmm. So then you end up with bikes that are not stored adequately, even though there are spaces.
Correct.
And like maybe reconsidering the ratio of like long-term, large bike parking spaces to like the current ratio could be useful.
Yeah, that's a new thing. The last time we updated the bike parking regs, this is the first time we put in large spaces, and also I think put a cap on the number of vertical spaces and required percentage of horizontal. So all of that is quite new in our regulations.
Cool.
Yeah.
In terms of time, hoping to get to what you were after, which is whether or not we approve of this in the current format, we could take a vote on that. I don't want to speak for everyone because I think people have different opinions, but do you think that would be helpful if we took a vote?
Yeah, I would. I having some direction, or at least where you're at, so when I go to the transportation committee, I can tell them. That would be helpful. I mean, I inform them of like our discussion points and concerns you raise and stuff like that, generally speaking, but if there's something that you want to take a vote on, that provides more direction.
I think, yeah, it was like whether or not we endorse this as is, right? Mm-hmm. So.
And if there's something that needs to be addressed, making it clear what I need to bring back to you next.
Okay. I feel like there's been some ideas on that, but we can take a vote on the first thing, whether we're, does someone want to make a motion?
When do we have to give you, do we have to do it this meeting, or if we can review the?
My trajectory is to, as a rather quick one.
Okay. Tonight.
So this month I'll be taking this to Transportation Subcommittee and Planning Commission for their feedback, and then coming back here hopefully in November for you to take a vote seeking your recommendation for City Council if you don't do it tonight, and then going back to Planning Commission in December, and then I forget the exact date of City Council, but shortly thereafter. So okay. That's the trajectory, if that helps.
So a yes vote would skip the November reassessment, and a no vote would be to
come back with something specific that you want me to address so that you feel comfortable making a recommendation.
In addition to any of the proposed changes of the Planning Commission and Transportation Committee?
Correct. So I will be coming back with this item to you, regardless of what your vote is, to tell you what happened and what's going on with it. So if you are like, yes, we're fine with these recommendations, we do want these other things to be addressed aside from this, let's say that's what you say tonight. I will still be coming back in November to let you know what happened at Transportation Subcommittee and at Planning Commission before it goes to approval with Planning Commission and City Council.
It's likely to change in between regardless. It could change in between regardless.
I am not a gambling person in that way. It could. So your recommendation, right, is like goes to council, but I tell like whenever you make a recommendation or don't, and I go to any of the other bodies, I tell them what you said to help inform their decisions and their understanding of the circumstances. So whatever you do tonight, I will go when I make my presentation, I'll give a similar presentation to the Transportation Subcommittee and Planning Commission. And in addition to that, I'll have a slide about what has been discussed and any recommendations that have been made.
Okay. Seems like we should hold a vote for today for the recommendation that you can bring to other committees. Yeah. Is there a motion?
How are you going to phrase this motion?
I think that depends.
What do we mean specifically? I guess I'm not convinced that ANAC data that's gathered in 1 month will be enough to make a clear recommendation in terms of what ratios we should change where. I'm just not sure that we'll get there.
I think the recommendation
could be given the staff
could be whether or not we endorse this in its current form. As one motion that someone could make. There's another motion that other someone else would like to make.
We could make it as a concept. We like the concept. But there's details in this, and that's the question.
Specific, right?
We need to say
if we don't recommend it, that what we need specifically for next time.
We need a recommendation if there's going to be a slide of everything that we've discussed, and then make a recommendation depending on what transportation committee says next month.
You're not required to make a recommendation.
So again, then we could say
using staff time.
So we could say we will approve it on the basis of our concerns being presented to the other committees that are going to decide on, make have their decision. I mean, we want to display we have concerns. So how do we word that? We would approve it with our concerns noted.
Or we don't approve it in its current form.
Or we can, or that, yeah. So it's whichever one.
And can we, I wonder if we could narrow the scope a little, like we're, it sounds like the residential, multifamily residential is one of the main ones too, that maybe would benefit from being looked at a little more carefully in terms of usage. I don't think we need to open up a can of worms, but if we can, you know, pass off that message within our recommendation to proceed, I don't know. I
recommend that we approve the commercial part of the plan and
non-residential.
Yeah, the non-residential part, and recommend that we don't approve residential as is. That splits it pretty cleanly.
I would vote on that.
Yeah.
I would just ask, what do you want changed? What are you saying needs to happen?
Numbers have to be increased. Simple. I mean, Natalie said our current numbers are insufficient for where she lives.
Well, that's just anecdotal, though.
Oh.
I mean, it would be nice to have data, if possible, if there's staff time to do that. But again, what I was describing is just the long-term parking for residential.
Yeah.
Short-term, it seemed fine to me.
Yeah.
And all of the commercial seemed fine to me as well.
Do you know if it would, is possible that it fits in these criteria of having been built after the most recent or some bike parking minimums were established?
Our current minimum set?
For the one per 2014, 2015, there's only the one.
We
changed the regulation.
All we have to do is look the numbers.
Yeah, it's bring back to you the residential developments that were built prior to when these regulations were adopted. And once, so that will give you an idea of where the gaps are.
Okay.
Because a lot of the residential development in the city, multifamily, was developed.
Right.
They were entitled before. They may be constructed a bit later.
So there was already an ask that you can make part of your statement for me to come back with the information that Mira just talked about, right? Like, can you give us more deep dive of how the regulations came about, when the years and stuff like that? To me, because you're talking about one specific issue with residential,
mm-hmm.
It would make sense to me personally, right? That you would separate that out from the table overall.
Yeah.
Because you're asking to take a deep dive into something that you may or may not want to change. And then as a result of that, you can always recommend that we change our regulations. And you may be making recommendations that have that are outside of the table itself, but are qualitative and something that we need to look at overall as a policy wise. So I would suggest that that is a separate, distinct discussion that you are asking to have aside from this table. But perhaps that's not how you feel.
So essentially, like, because what's being proposed is pretty much the same as what it is now.
It's exactly the same
yeah,
for residential.
To say, like, this is fine for now, and then evaluate maybe doing something even more beyond in the future.
Absolutely. Because it sounds to me like you're really wanting to look at that in a serious way with a deep dive. And I want to make sure that we give that its due time and do what you really want to do as part of that. Like, I can come back based on what you told me tonight with basic information, but I have a feeling that from that you are gonna say, okay, now we need to know this because we have a better picture, right? I want to make sure that we give that its time, and that is one line of you know, like,
and I have to ask you, like, what is your time frame for like getting this into code in order to meet the stipulations of this grant?
You can end up 2026.
Okay, so you're on a time crunch.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense that we would kind of evaluate an improvement later on after getting this into the code as is.
Yeah.
One way to look at it is, like you said, to check and see or to give it its due diligence. Another way to look at it is to say, this is our opportunity to make a change. And so I would personally like to see where people are at in terms of approving everything that's non-residential. So I'll make a motion to vote on approving the table as is without including residential. And if we vote on that real quick, we can see where everyone's at.
I'll second that.
So the motion is to approve the table minus the residential.
Yeah. Okay.
Member Banks?
Inclined to vote no.
Okay. Member Martin?
I vote aye.
Member Ramey?
Aye.
Member Stitch?
I'm going to vote no just because of the timeline. I don't want to make sure the city gets the funding that they need, but I do think that it would be something that we could evaluate later on.
Member Suter?
Aye.
Member Wax?
Aye.
Vice Mayor, Suter. We can do a future. Vice Chair Cohen?
I'll vote aye.
I'm going to vote aye. Now, where I wanted to kind of get with that is that there are additional things that we want to look into. Like, we can have a second vote and talk about what would get us to approving the residential part of this. But I just want to get like a pulse of the room of everything else, since it seems like we're kind of hung up on this one thing. So I don't know that we want to stop here. I feel like we're really close to something. But I'm also want to listen to what other people think about where we want to go from here.
Do we believe we want to make a specific recommendation for the other bodies out of this committee in terms of the residential or a general one, like studying increasing level? Okay. Study increasing residential.
It would be nice to tie the bike numbers to the average number of occupants per bedroom in the city of Emeryville, which is the data I imagine we might have. Like, the issue is that we have like two people living in one bedroom apartments, probably maybe someone's in a four bedroom that only has two people. Like, if we like know how many people per bedroom, that should maybe give us the number of bikes, parking spaces we want per bedroom.
Yeah, it's long term that is the hot button. The short term doesn't seem to be a problem. It's a long term. So
We don't have that.
I imagine the city has like our population and maybe the possible number of bedrooms because it's all permitted.
I'm looking through our housing.
Like, in terms of like low resource things to get, might be possible.
How do people feel about going around the room and kind of talking about what would get you into the category of approving the recommendation? But for me, I would like to know what buildings built after the regulation was changed, so we can kind of understand. And I'm not going to do a deep dive. I'm not going to hold anything up, but it's helpful just to kind of be a little bit more data driven than that. So
mine is the usage is the whole thing. If the current numbers are satisfactory for 75% or more of the place that people live, then it must stay with it. But unless you want to be perfect or ideal and increase it even with a small percentage. But it seems to me the cyclists are the ones who will tell us whether these numbers are sufficient. So that's what I'm waiting for, is somebody say yeah from the round the table.
So here's the question: are these going to be the numbers we want in these buildings 20 or 30 years from now, with that level of the bicycle network build out, when it is more broadly reflected out in the community? Are these going to be the appropriate ratios for Emeryville?
That's true.
I can give you a little bit of data.
Even 5 years.
Okay, from page 10. Sorry. Actually, this is PDF page 40 at page 10 of the housing needs assessment in the housing element. These are data from 2019 because this plan was approved in 2013. but at that time, 47% of the units were one bedroom and 17% were studios. Only 8% were three or more bedrooms. The average household size in Emeryville, 1.81 persons, so less than two people was the average household size, and 47% were occupied by one person. So almost half are occupied by one person.
47% and 64% studios and one bedroom. So it's like three quarters or one quarter of all one bedrooms are occupied by more than one person.
Well, we don't know because it could be a two bedroom and have one person.
That is true.
Anyone else have other things that they are looking for they want to share?
I had a clarifying question, Navarre. You mentioned splitting out this like deep dive, right? The idea that the deep dive would inform some future amendment to this and we would approve it as is. And like, so like, let's say you're back here in November, right? So we're all back here in November and you talk to the other bodies. Let's just assume there's no other changes made. What you'll bring back what we saw here today, as well as some data to inform about like the timeline of changes and what buildings were affected. And we would use that data to make a decision about our recommendation, or we kind of continue on with our recommendation to, let's just say, approve it as is. And then like there's this independent kind of arm that's going on to assess this for either the next time we have to make these changes or sometime in the near future where we would make some smaller tweak maybe. I just want to make sure I understand what your recommendation is.
I think we're on the same page. yes, I was suggesting that it just be a set, that your deep dive into what residential parking, particularly for, it sounds like one bedroom and studios is a particular concern, but housing in general, is that accurate? Sounds like we're mostly talking about studios and one bedrooms, but was that an incorrect?
You're just having adequate long-term parking.
Okay, so looking, so what I can come back with in November is what we talked about, like looking at what housing units of the larger projects, okay? Like not talking about every single unit in the city, but of larger projects, what was approved before and after which code changes. So you have an idea, right? But there, I would not be able to do any further deeper assessment than that. And I could come back with some more statistics like I just read to you from the housing element, right? For some context. In terms of next steps and how to proceed, it makes sense to me to just look at the table as a table and then to say, this has inspired us to look more into residential housing and we want to look into that and what it means for that to be adequate and to explore that and discuss it more and have that be a separate topic. And you can make recommendations out of that that staff could come back to with separate code notes at some point later in time that might be more holistic than simply the number of spaces per unit. Because you might look at that and say, well, we really want to look at the number of cargo bikes or the design of it. You know, there might be other things. That's what I'm thinking. But, and then we could look at that more holistically and then make those recommendations to Planning Commission, City Council separately from the table. I think that's what you were saying also. I think I'm using different words for the same thing.
Basically, but is the separately like at a future date? Because I guess like I'm thinking about the timeline that you have.
Yes,
right?
Because you need to have
like, time. Prove it as is, and then like when we have more information, we'll make a change.
Yeah, and at your determination, right? I'm not trying to push off you guys looking this into some undetermined date in the future, but I know that you also have other things on your agendas, and I don't know where this fits into, like you make your work plan for the year. I have no idea how this fits into that. So I know that you might need to assess that as a committee, how that fits in with your priorities as a committee. So
I like the way you phrase that. So Navarre, you're saying this isn't going to be fixed in concrete for the next 5 years. This could be changed every year.
changes as code changes are needed. And if you guys are like, look, we know a code change needs to happen, but we really need to look at this.
Okay.
Like, let's do it. But let's give it its time to do that instead of.
So I would say we have the time to even, seeing as how they're limited in staff, to, I mean, I'll volunteer to go around to multi, you know, to all the apartments, you know, in Emeryville. And talk to them about how many times their members are complaining they don't have a place for their bike. I mean, I can do that, but as long as those data, that usage information, can then be used to improve this. In that case, I would vote yes for going with the residential, as long as we have that freedom or that flexible opportunity. So,
how hard is it to get it? Code change after this like big overhaul.
I mean, it's just putting it into the workflow for you and workflow for me. I don't see it as being a huge issue. I cannot prioritize it over other things like doing my annual report to the state for the general plan. Right? Okay, let me just like make that really clear to you, right? There are certain parts of the housing element that I need to take steps on and move that forward, and I have to prioritize that. But that does not mean I can't come back to you with information and make that recommendation. It might mean that there's a delay. I'm not saying of 6 months, but you know, I might not be able to take what you recommend to Planning Commission the next month after you make your recommendation. I'm going to have to wait for space on the agenda.
For a year.
But it can happen in the same year, like for sure, and probably much less than that. I just don't want to tell you, oh, I can do it right away, and like. You have an unrealistic expectation about what my capacity is.
Is it like, is there room with, is there a way to have language within this version that says, you know, usage data will be evaluated and may result in an amendment?
I would not put that in the code.
No.
You can put that in your recommendation. I'm not going to put in the code that the code could change. Right. But I can absolutely make note of that, like, for example, we're voting, I'm just making this up, okay? We're voting to move forward with this as presented with concerns about residential that we will be looking at in the near future and bringing back to the other bodies for review to make changes.
I mean, it seems like it's not so egregiously off that I don't think we're going to request like 2x or maybe 3x. We're not going to request 3 times what we have today. So it seems like adequate for now, and we'll... I would probably rather make a more informed decision with more time, as Navarro is suggesting. So I feel like we should just approve it as is.
Yeah.
And
something not to worry about.
Say that we take it on as a committee to like get more data from staff and present.
We also don't have to approve it until November.
So is it going to come back as an information item or an action item?
It's here tonight as an action item, so you have the opportunity. It'll absolutely come back as an action.
Yeah, so that's what, for me, I'm like, well, we don't need to approve anything tonight and set it into stone. We have a month to do our own investigations if we want. And we can think about what the ramifications would be of not approving it as is or as it will be presented in November, and whether or not we want to try again for a deeper dive, put that into the agenda and schedule some time for the code to get changed. I'm in the defer category, but I just want to keep an eye on the time. We're well past, but let's try and wrap this up by 7:05. Just like,
what would it mean we to defer for now for you as staff? Is it no change for your trajectory?
No, in that what will change for me is what I tell the, you know, the transportation subcommittee and planning commission before I see you again. So, but in terms of my actual work or anything like that, it will not change anything. I come back to you next month with the information we discussed to help inform if you want to make a recommendation for this or something else.
I think, Jesse, you kind of phrased it, and that is, we, you know, our position has been voted on. And we'll complete the residential part in November.
unless anyone else has a motion that they would like to present. Like
that was a semi-motion.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to, this is what we're doing, you know, I don't do that. So it's like if people have other ideas they want to think about, we can talk about that, or we can kind of spend the month to think about this a little bit more, do some research, ask our friends, and maybe some of these newer buildings that we know have been built since 2013, and
hear what the other committees have to say too.
See what the other committees have to say, ask about people in other cities that we know, and then come back in November with better understanding ourselves.
But I think Jesse is also saying if somebody wants to make a motion to approve it, the residential, here's your time to do it too.
Yeah,
so you have to make a motion.
I'd make a motion to vote on this in November, or I'll motion to vote on the residential part of the blend at our November meeting.
People are going to do that.
And then we had to
basically
say it, like make sure it happens.
That's all.
Yeah. So no one else wants to make an amendment to that motion? I guess I'll second that. I think that's how I also said that. But might as well go ahead. We've had a motion and a second.
Okay. So the motion is so
to next vote on.
Vote on it next month.
You voted to approve. It as is, except for the residential,
right.
Yeah. And I'll be coming back next month.
Yeah.
You're not getting rid of me. You're stuck with me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
coming back.
Yeah.
I'm coming back. Right.
I don't think we need to vote on voting next month.
Okay.
I was like, we're.
All right. Thank you all for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right, moving on to information items. Starting with 6.1, planning updates.
Not much of an update, and apologies if I'm just repeating some things you've heard from last month. Rivian applied for their building permit, so we should start to get plans soon for like their actual streetscaping of the mural that they're going to have on the west side of the property facing the railroad. At the moment, I don't know who they selected as an artist. Planet Fitness is starting construction work, so you may have seen that they've repainted the building. They're also going to have a muralist from the Bay Area mural project who did the original tags, the work on the walls, come back and do at minimum it's going to be three sides of the building. And then bike share stations. All is not really in our court right now. It's still under the encroachment permit. We are just waiting for Lyft to finalize their payments. And once they finalize their payments, encroachment permit will be issued and they can schedule their time. I've asked them, in terms of timeline, it basically depends on when they pay, but it could be within like a couple weeks of them getting the permit issued. So I'm knocking on wood every time I see it.
All right. Clarifying questions. Public comment. Member comments. Thank you. All right. Item 6.2, public works update.
Yeah.
Public works, lots of stuff going on. Sustainable green stadiums. Project that won't end. Hollis is torn up as it is. But big changes coming to the Powell Hollis intersection. They're moving the traffic signal finally tomorrow. So traffic will be a little bit snarled tomorrow. We've sent out quite a few news flashes about that, and there should be some boards up saying that there will be some lane closures and stuff tomorrow in the middle of the day. So please just be aware if you're traveling through that intersection, that's going to be a little bit getting through there. Let's make some significant delays, but that's kind of a big milestone so that they can finish the paving on that plaza and move on across the street. Currently, the contractor is planning to begin paving early next month, so finally they've got the paving on the schedule. So weather holding out, asphalt will be started early November.
which means that they can finally start closing up Hollis and get the speed humps in at the Greenway and the other streets that they're supposed to go in at. And also the work on Doyle started today with some soft cutting for the concrete improvements, so that was good. That's sustainable streetscapes. Also this week, daylighting project has started. So our maintenance crews have started painting, or they're going to start this week painting the daylighting locations from PB 413, so the no parking zones ahead of crosswalks. And so that's a fully city effort. So good work on environment. A sign saying don't park there. You're right, curves. And that's what I have for the things. That's kind of the two big things going on right now for me, anyway.
There are any questions?
I had a question. Are you doing a street closure for Halloween this year?
Oh, like the spooky streets like last year? I don't know, but I can check with Matt on that. I know he kind of spearheaded that last year, but I can.
What's fun?
One question I had regarding the asphalt, which is kind of a spillover from what's going on in Oakland.
Hmm.
Where does Henryville get its hot asphalt?
I don't know.
Okay. Because Oakland had an anti-supporting ice provision that was preventing them from paving the streets because the supplier is owned by a North Carolina company, which is not complied. And the only place in the region is in Berkeley, but the next closest one that doesn't belong to this company is in Martinez. And by the time they drive the truck over to Oakland, asphalt is cooled in.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about where Oakland or where Emeryville gets their hot asphalt. Do you mind following up on that?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Just curious.
Yeah.
Public comments?
Sure. Intersection of Hollis and Stanford. Along the curbside, there's been a couple open cuts for a while. That there's just a lot of gravel in there. It's starting to spill out over the roadway because Stanford's a popular bike route. You might want to take a look at that. They did some interim patching on one of the corners, but all the other corners still have open cuts with gravel in.
Okay, so like where the new mold house is on it.
Yeah. So just some interim patching there would, I think, be beneficial. Keep the gravel off the roof. Separately, this is both for the Hall Street project and the Doyle 59th Street projects. I know the designs have been constantly in flux with Hall Street, but you had mentioned possibly posting those to the city site once they stabilized, so people could know where the city landed on certain design details. Same thing with Doyle and 59. There's some good conversations here about that project, so it'd be interesting to know where it is. But
comments?
Off topic comment. I wanted to thank you because a couple months back you forwarded us an email about the AVA electric bike rebate program. So they gave me a rebate after a couple months of entering. And so I got an electric bike a week ago, been having a lot of fun. So it was really easy to do the rebate program too if anyone else wants an electric bike. So thank you.
You're welcome. Congratulations. You're like the 7%
I know. Oh, really? Yeah, I hadn't heard of it because I don't pay the TTE bill. Yeah.
Well, if there are no more comments on the Public Works update, we have a list of future agenda items that we've been adding to for quite some time. And I think Bill brought to my attention that this list is growing quite long. And it was recommended, it was a great recommendation that we kind of look at the list and think about the priority of the things that we want to bring to the current agenda.
other than just growing this list? And yeah, and so the list has a lot of, had quite a few items from former members. So that's kind of, so I've broken up the list into three categories. So there's like items from former members, current member items that we have loved some clarification. And then the rest of the items. So I'd love it if you guys take a look at the former member items and see which ones we want to carry forward. We want to sponsor those.
And I would say
I can read through them.
If people have, we just kind of go around and like, what are our top two things on here?
Might be able to help prioritize this list
a bit better, especially if lots of us have a similar top two item.
And it's not even complete.
It's not complete, yeah.
That's one from, I guess, now Council Member Solomon. BPAC Outreach next Bike to Work Day. We kind of addressed that one.
And that's like every
year. I'm here.
The outreach had that presentation on lighting in public right of way.
Some of these, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of these items I inherited from the previous secretaries. It was just like an ongoing list. So I don't know. And I've asked Matt and he's like, I don't know how these got on here. I just wanted to check.
I think we can delete the lighting one because we
have the lighting one. Okay.
We should first go through and see if anybody has any ones that we've already discussed.
I think bike ped pathway trash management, we sort of touched on with the adopt a path.
Which, I feel like the trash management has been pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think we need to and keep that one on the list, personally.
Yeah, so get rid of that one as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have had some comments about wayfinding. That's come up a couple times. Sort of like system to share walking, biking, safety information.
We need the bike share update. I feel like we've gotten a lot of those. Like there's like something specific beyond the three stations being added.
Is that this December?
So there's gonna be a presentation in December. There's some data on the bike share station.
Those are already on the books.
Yeah, so those bottom two are on the books, yeah. And that's February 2026.
The code update to allow bike paths sounds like ATP.
Code update to allow bike paths and cars.
I remember when Sam brought that up. It was like, because they're like the greenway is a park and they're like, not supposed to be there after a certain time or whatever, that there are use restrictions. Mm-hmm. And there are like could be a carve out for like traveling through the park versus using it, you know, as a place to hang out or whatever. Like specify that way, like there's not excessive or inappropriate, I guess, enforcement possible for people just like biking through if there's uses that way. I remember that being the case. I don't know if it's still worth talking about, but
the only place I know that happening, at least in my world, is like Lake Temescal for East Bay Regional, but that's like not Emeryville. I've used a lot of these bike paths at night in parks for thousands of people. And the enforcement is not over rotated, so to speak. But if there's other people who have different perspectives, I'd love to hear it.
I get the point would be more like make it so that it would not be an issue in the future. Yeah. Right. I think that's why it was brought up, at least. I mean
that might not necessarily need to be like an entire presentation though, right? That could just be like, we want to have a recommendation, we want to document a recommendation that says we recommend this change to the code that allows people. You want to take that on?
I feel like we need staff like to discuss what the options are about changing the code to do that. I guess I'll at least maybe say that we should keep this. I'll at least say that we should keep it as an action, as a future item.
Great.
Keep it on the list.
Next one, maintenance cost. That's kind of abstract. What new infrastructure? Anyone know?
Delete.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds familiar. I think Laura's point was that we should take into account the maintenance cost, but yeah, there's no clear scope to it, so we should just remove it.
Okay, discussion complete.
Abroad.
Yeah.
I guess we could, if we cared about the Complete Streets policy, which I guess we should, we could say that we could request at given some capacity that staff comes back with, like, where the policy is today, what opportunities for improvement there could be or something like that, or if we have opportunities for improvement that we identify. Otherwise, if we don't have some specific thing, we should get rid of it.
Just to keep this on the list.
Keep it on, just not low, it's low priority. Unless somebody wants to have it as a high priority.
Do you remember anything about the synergy between BPAC and other city committees?
Because this was brought up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did, yeah. I think, yeah, you brought it up as far as becoming more team approached to all the advisory groups. I know COA had an attempt to listen in on various meetings and pass that information in our meeting. And so that kind of you know, say inviting members from different advisory groups to come would fit into that, but yeah, you wanted to reach out and be more of a non them and us, but rather we're all in this together. How can we work together to help each other?
Okay, seems like we do still want to keep that.
Yeah, one. I would say keep that one.
Okay,
that's the quick build at Pal and Crispy.
That was probably for the walking safety thing. And when you presented the last annual report, the council came back with there is really no quick fix for this. And so it's a carry on. It was one of our top three priorities for being done this year, for we asked the council to do this year, and that is to improve the safety for pedestrians and cyclists at that intersection. And this has been asked for probably a decade or two, and so it was basically said, we want you to make it one of your top three. That means it'll be done this year. And that's what, when you say top three to the council, it will be completed this year, because that's our focus. We will finish at least these three things. So the question comes back maybe as, what is the status? You know, this is a report maybe from the council. Who and staff is working on this? I mean, because that's an important one. So I'd say that's a high priority, but quick build. I'm not sure you proposed quick build. I don't know where quick build came from.
I guess we could try and reframe this as, what is being done to improve the safety at Powell and Christie?
Yeah.
Presented by staff.
Okay. Yeah.
I think quick build just refers to like something that you can do quickly in the field, not a big CIP project.
Yeah, right. I know, Laura.
Right. There's signs you could put up, little posts and things. So
what, you know, I guess what can be done immediately to improve the safety is the question that we would like to ask. Low cost.
Sure. We'll leave that on.
Yeah.
Okay. And move it to high priority. Yep. Other people?
Yeah. Shut down all the lights. I mean, for pedestrians to cross, then turn all the lights back on. Meaning, everything's red.
Yeah. We'll do the
that's a quick fix. Cross intersections.
Sure.
Quick fix. Sure.
Yeah. Well, there are two, like, turn on red lanes. Loud.
Yeah. Okay.
Next one, there's
International Walking Day.
That was up in that.
It was supposed to be a companion to bike to wear every day with the idea.
Yeah.
There's nobody to present it.
We should probably take that.
Yeah.
It seems like something we'd be requesting staff capacity for, and it'd be interesting to hear if there's staff capacity for this type of thing, but if not, then I don't see what the would be. Seems like probably it would not be that. The board without staff capacity. Yeah, so.
We have lots of things to focus on. We run out of things, we'll bring it back up out of the dead.
So for policy on multiple users of bike paths in future projects.
That came from.
That's kind of related to that code update about bike paths and parks up above, right?
Came from the county's effort to improve San Pablo, and it was brought up in another committee, a county committee I'm on, and where disabled people were using the bike path because the sidewalks were blocked, and in Emeryville. Well, anyway, it's a case of can in Emeryville people that are in mobile MOVs or mobile chairs or three-wheeled bikes, can they use the bike lane too? And I said the point that needed to be discussed was, if so, we need to widen them. So, yeah, it's a topic, but that was the basis for the presentation or the request.
And then the iterating projects and improvements in the right way.
Yeah, I think we could. I don't know how I have that envisioned yet. So I think we can strike that.
Okay. And Pelado Park and.
That's not exactly what I got right now. I'm looking at a bunch of stuff in the vicinity of Pelado Park that includes Pelado Park, but it's really more of the whole. That whole intersection of Bucks and the marina.
Keep it on the list, yeah.
So keep it on.
Well, I think that, and there's another one down below that basically the same item.
Oh,
the update on the Powell.
Yeah,
so, okay. So you could get rid of the Pelody Park specifically.
Okay.
Round off the list. ACTC presentation on San Pablo project, which
yeah, seems like that's
yeah,
that, given that it's delayed or
I'm waiting for confirmation
for November's meeting
for a presentation from them. Hopefully they'll be able to come in.
Okay, thank you.
Just waiting for a comment.
We think we're gonna wrap up in the next 3 minutes.
All done.
Great.
We'll bike share an ATP annual update. Thanks for going over that.
The only thing that wasn't on there was the request to bring back your adopt a sidewalk.
Well, we made a recommendation to City Council that they should do that.
Oh, okay.
We put that out there, and
okay.
Now it's gone. They've heard it, and they're okay. Like, yeah. So I don't need to bring it up again.
Okay.
I know it's not City of Emeryville, but I would want to see where the Emeryville Greenway sort of transitions to Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
I know we had talked about this a little bit last meeting, where they're possibly going to have some projects to create some raised crossings there when we transition to Berkeley, because you have like raised crossing all the way through Emeryville, and then there's not a raised crossing once you hit Berkeley. So it'd be nice to get some sort of update on the progress of that.
Sure.
You need somebody official to recognize you?
I did make a request in the few months that I was commissioner, like 3 years ago, that I don't think was on the list, and that was the crosswalk signal policy. That's one that I would still be happy to provide an update to the group on if there's interest.
Is this an update that you would provide or an update the staff is going to provide?
At the time, I made it at the same time as I had requested the bike rack inventory project. And then I was off the beat path in 3 months. So I would be happy to start the conversation by providing a presentation to alleviate the workload for staff and make it easier to schedule.
Okay.
Pedestrian crossings, pedestrian signal policy.
No other future agenda items.
I have one announcement related to bike parking at the hospital, is that apparently at Kaiser, you can bring your bike all the way to your doctor's appointment room. I saw him coming out of an elevator doing it, who I knew, and I was like, what? She was like, yeah. I talked to my doctor right after that, and she was like, yeah, that's fine. So if you don't want to park your bike, bring it all the way in. Do you have ties with it? I need to check with your doctor first. Mm-hmm. Any other announcements? Tiny gavel, meaning adjourned.
Okay, so you want me to go start doing surveys?
If you have time and energy,
you're not going to be back.
Okay.
That's great. We learned that in COVID. I mean, staff just didn't have the time. You get volunteers.
With regards to the Berkeley side of the Greenway, the comment period is now closed for the Berkeley bike update, but I did submit on behalf of Bike Space some comments that included recommendations for upgrades on that segment.
Okay.
And even a well, or a cargo burger at